The Organic Federation of Canada is pleased to present the Organic Science Conversations, a series of podcasts presenting the researchers of the Organic Science Cluster 3, a five-year project of 27 research activities in organic agriculture in Canada. Dr. Mehdi Sherifi from Agriculture and Agri-Food Canada partners with Dr. Liette Vasseur from Brock University. They explore how combinations of cover crops, rootstocks, and irrigation can enhance vineyard soil health and thus grape production and quality. Dr. Sherifi was interviewed by Jordan Marr in November 2020.
Hello, my name is Mehdi Sherifi. I'm a research scientist with Summerland Research and Development Center, Agriculture, Agri-Food Canada. My research focuses on the nutrient management, working with the cover crops, working with the soil amendments in the vineyards and orchards.
Mehdi, thank you very much for joining me on the podcast.
Thank you, Jordan. Thanks for inviting me to the podcast.
So I've invited you on just to ask you about if there's any of your recent research you'd like to talk about. What would you like to talk about today?
One of my research is focusing on the cover crop in the vineyards. That's a 5 years project that we are in the third year. So I think that would be something interesting to discuss in this podcast.
Wonderful. Okay, so tell me a little bit about what your research on cover crops in vineyards is focusing on and what you're hoping to learn.
Yes. So this is a project under CAP projects that Government of Canada, in collaboration with the industry, supports. The project got funded in 2018, and it's continue until and 2 years from now, 2023. The interest or sort of the topics came from the growers or grower association, BC Wine Grape Council. That was one of their interests, was growing cover crops in the vineyards. And there were questions around which cover crops would be more suitable for growing in the vineyards, in the alleyways, and also under vine, and which kind of benefits they can get from growing these cover crops in the vineyards. So we designed the research in kind of in a way to answer the industry or growers' questions. And we have actually two locations. I'm collaborating with Brock University. They working on the sort of more humid climate vineyards in the mainly Niagara area and north in northern shore of Lake Erie. I'm working on the BC components. And we sort of exchanging ideas and kind of working together to get this, to conduct this research. In terms of the BC, I had three phases to conduct a study. First phase was that to do a screening in the greenhouse. So I grow a wide range of cover crops in the vineyard soil in the greenhouse and I look at the growth pattern of those cover crops. Later on, I harvested those cover crops. I processed the biomass and I added back to the soil and I grow grapes in the greenhouse on the same soil. And I look at the differences in the growth, all sort of agronomy parameters to see how they grow after those cover crops incorporated into the soil. So based on that information, the result that we got from that phase one, we come up with a list of cover crops that would be more suitable for growing in the vineyards. So we shortlist that long list of cover crops we had. And then the next season, which was last year, we went to the field. We selected three sites in the Okanagan Valley. So Okanagan Valley, from the south to north, has a range of microclimate. In north is a little bit cooler. South, of course, is a little bit warmer. I got the help of two commercial organic vineyards down south, Covert Family Farms. Is a large organic vineyard down in the center in Summerland area at the research center. I use one of our grape blocks, and more northern area in the West Bank or West Kelowna. We worked with Kalala Organic Winery. And I established 15 different cover crops in the alleyway, 9 cover crops under vine. And then we studied those. We collected all the information related to the pattern of the growth, the establishment of the cover crop, competing with the weeds. Because we need a kind of cover crop that can survive in the vineyard without need for a lot of maintenance. Otherwise, it would be sort of a lot of maintenance causing like a lot of costs. So it make it impossible for the grower to grow those kind of cover crops.
So Mandy, could I stop you there for a sec? I think this is a good point to actually back up and talk about the status quo in the industry and what led to this research. Just could you describe the traditionally the status quo in most vineyards, which I would guess is in, yeah, in conventional, you're looking at herbicide on the ground under the vines, and a pretty standard grass mixture in the alleyways. Is that, could you clarify that?
Absolutely. Yeah. So the standard practice in the commercial vineyards is to keep under vine sort of weed free. They call it a herbicide strip. And what they do, they use a glyphosate or Roundup, and they spray it between 2 to sometimes 4 times under vine during the growing season. So that stops growing any kind of plants under vine. And the purpose is to reduce the competition, because there is that traditional idea of the competition between the vine and any kind of plant that grow under vine. So between the alleyways, between rows, usually they let anything that grows. So it could be weed, it could be anything, or some of the growers actively growing grass, as you mentioned. So that's a normal practice. In the recent years, there is a huge movement in the world for using less sort of chemicals or agrochemicals, especially herbicides, in the vineyards. And there are regulations that after spraying the herbicide, especially Roundup, you need to let it like at least 30 to 45 days pass before your harvest. So you cannot spray the product before harvest. And these regulations are even more strict in Europe. Last year, France President Emmanuel Macron was announced that France going to be a herbicide, going to produce herbicide or Roundup free wine in 2020, which was until end of this year. They try to phase out the herbicide from their vineyards, which is a huge movement, and that put pressure on the rest of the world that reduce the use of this kind of herbicides. So that brings us that growers, they're looking for an alternative. If they cannot spray herbicide under vine, they need a different method to control the weeds. One of the traditional methods is to use mechanically remove the weeds, either by hand or there are some sort of equipment that they can kind of brush and remove the weeds and the vine. The downside of that is that kind of activities, physical activities, Removing with hand is very, very time-consuming and costly. Removing the weeds with the machine, it causes this disturbance in the soil. And we know any kind of disturbance like tillage or any kind of sort of using these weed remover, it causes that the organic matter in the soil start decomposing faster. So that is not encouraged. The alternative would be growing cover crops. And that's the reason that there is a huge interest in the industry for knowing more about the cover crops, using the cover crops, especially cover crops under vine is something fairly new. In the past like 5 or 10 years, people start looking into that. There's very little information out there for the vineyards. Alleyways, there's more information. But still in this region, growers, they're interested to know more about it. And even in BC, the island growers, they're also showed a lot of interest in knowing more about the cover crops. I had a couple of presentations, the results of our project for them, and they showed a lot of interest. So that's something that the wine growers, they're always kind of forefront of sustainability. They would like to know more about how they can make their production more sustainable and how they can reduce the amount of agrochemicals that they're using in their vineyards.
Okay, Mehdi. So could I ask you then, staying away still from any findings you've made already or what you might expect to find, what are you after? Could you briefly talk about what a good cover crop mix in the alleyway would achieve and look like? And the same question for under the vines, like what characteristics or what benefits are you trying to convey in both of those contexts?
Yes. Absolutely. Very good question. So we had some ideas before we start this project based on the literature and sort of the past experience. But we also gained some great information from the last year research that we did. So we come up with a list of the characteristics of a good cover crops in the alleyway and a good cover crops under vine. So a good cover crops usually compete with the weeds, is established easy. The seeds are available, so you can purchase the seeds. They're readily available in the market. The price is reasonable. The seeds that are extremely expensive, it won't be feasible for the growers to use those. So these are the first sort of like the economy side of the things, but establishing well, competing with the weeds, it's extremely important. If the cover crop is not competitive, then the weeds going to take over and it's going to disappear. So you're not going to have a cover crops in your vineyards if it's not competing with the weeds. And it's not possible to remove the weeds. That just not feasible for the growers to do that. The other thing is that there's some traffic in the alleyways during the season, tractors going and coming in the spring and doing other stuff. So this cover crop need to be sort of resistance to the traffic. Otherwise, you drive on those and then they disappear. Also, perennial cover crops usually have an advantage over the annual because you establish those once and then for 2-3 years, it's good. You just maintain those and you don't need to again seed and do all those preparation that might be time consuming and costly. The other thing is that very important point is that the cover crop should not harbor pests and diseases, because this is something that we're hoping to use the cover crop to reduce the pests and diseases. And if a cover crop can harbor those kind of pests, is not definitely an option for the vineyards. For under vine, the cover crop should not produce a lot of biomass, because then that's going to cause mowing under vine frequently, and that's, again, at a cost. Also, it should not kind of enter the fruiting zone. So if the cover crops that are getting really tall, like buckwheat or phacelia or some of the cover crops that they grow really tall into the fruiting zone, they're not suitable because they make the maintenance and they make the harvest really difficult. For under vine, Mainly the cover crops should not be competitive because it's growing right under the vine that you do all the management with the, for the vines. So it should not be competitive with the vine, but so or the deep rooted crops such as alfalfa that sometimes is suitable for the alleyways, they're not suitable for under vine. And the roots is going to start competing with the vine's roots. But the ones that are more surface competing with the weeds, it's fine. Again, perennials have advantage over the annuals. And attention to the sort of some of the characteristics such as cold hardiness. And also drought tolerance are important because the Okanagan is a sort of a dry climate or a semi-arid climate, and there's not much rain. And if a cover crop can tolerance like that window of drought in the summertime, that's definitely a bonus, and it's very important. Also, if it can, for the perennials, if it can overwinter and grow the next year, that would be definitely important. The cover crops that are warm climate cover crops, they're not great options because you can only have those in the summer, and as soon as the weather gets cold, they can't survive.
So I don't so many considerations. One follow-up question I have is just whether there's any cover crop or mixture, and I'm thinking more of under the vines, that has the potential, either demonstrated in past research or perhaps your research, to improve the actual quality of the crop. Any promising results in that respect?
Yes, and some of the cover crops, such as white clover, it has showed promising results in the literature. Also, turnip or some of the crops such as brassica, they have been successful. In our research, we used these crops and we got good results with the white clover, Ladino white clover, and I have great establishment in several vineyards currently. So I've been very happy with that. Lentils have been very, very successful in this region. We tested those last year and on all three sites, they did great. Unfortunately, turnip and brassica didn't work. Turnip, we had issue with the wireworms, so a lot of wireworm damage. Also, brassica harbor some of the pests such as like aphids or mites. So although they establish pretty good and they look great, but they harbor some of these pests, and for that reason we didn't choose them. Some of the cover crops such as Phacelia, it's attracting a lot of beneficial insects, so it was really great and beautiful, but it's not competitive with the weeds. So mixing that with some other sort of species that is competitive with the weeds make it really nice. So I liked Phacelia very much, but it's very hard to establish it. So you need to mix it with something else.
Okay. So Mandy, this all sounds really fascinating and potentially really beneficial for the industry. Really briefly, where are you at in your research? When do you expect to be reporting some findings?
So last year, I had 280 plots across the Okanagan Valley. We got fantastic results. We established some tables with all the data and so on. I'm working with a modeler. We're developing a model that can help the growers to select the best cover crop for their sort of their location, the type of soil and microclimate that they have in the Okanagan Valley. So that's very, very exciting. Based on last year results, we started which was the second phase, there was the field screening of the cover crop species. Now this year, we moved to the actual working on the selection and that selected cover crops from the last year. So three cover crops in the alleyway, three cover crops under vine, and we're doing more detailed studies. So we established those cover crops in the fall. So we just finished that a few days ago. And we are going to, in the next 2 years, we're going to look at the response or response of the vine to that cover crops, the growth of the cover crops, the impact of the cover crops in the soil, and mainly the soil biome, the interaction with the nematode, the interaction with the organisms in the soil, the interaction with the carbon and nitrogen cycling in the soil, also the effect on the yield quality of the grapes. So we're going to look at all these aspects with these selected groups of the cover crops in the two vineyards, one in the south in Oliver and one in West Kelowna. So exciting things, it's coming, and we're very sort of excited to see the results and monitor the different parameters in the next 2 years.
One last question I have, Mehdi, is how transferable your research would or could be to orchard management? Just in, I'm thinking that, you know, most orchards are laid out in the same way as vineyards. So with, you know, alleyways and then under tree management. So is there much transferability potential?
You know, they seems very similar, but there's some differences in the orchards versus the vineyards. So the distances between the trees and also the alleyways might be different sizes. The level of the shading might be slightly different. But there are also a lot of similarities. So I am very interested in the future to also look into the orchards and do some studies in the orchards as well. But I believe a good portion of the results would be also transferable to the orchard, especially the high density orchards that has very similar structure to the vineyards. The older orchards or the more traditional ones, it might be slightly different, but also it's definitely doable to do the cover crops on those systems with some modification.
So, Mehdi, that was also fascinating. If listeners want to learn more about your research, what's the easiest way for them to access what you're doing?
So we are... I'm working on some publications, so it's gonna be accessible to the readers. They're more in the scientific side of the things. We're also developing some fact sheets based on the results. I'm gonna have presentations in different sort of grower meetings or seminars. And nowadays it's more like virtually, but those ones it's gonna advertise through the BC Wine Grape Council. And the fact sheets, they're going to be posted online. They always welcome to directly contact me, and I would be more than happy to answer any questions in that regard.
Okay, well, given that, I can include your contact info in the podcast show notes. Mehdi, thank you so much for joining me on the podcast. I know my colleagues will be really interested to hear about this work you're doing.
Thanks again, Jordan. Thanks a lot. It was nice to talk to you.